ready for some real wedding talk? Welcome to the Isle Podcast, run by the ladies of BTS Event Management, a luxury wedding planning and design company. We vow to be true and uncut, so you'll get all the expert knowledge on all the crazy topics that you might walk into while planning your big day. We work with some of the who's who for their weddings. Professional athletes, top influencers, celebrities, and politicians all come to us for their wedding planning and design. And we're here to share all the nitty-gritty details with you. So grab your mom, your best friend, or your groom-to-be, and let us walk with you down the aisle for this crazy wedding planning journey. Welcome back to the aisle for episode 6. This episode is going to be solely focused on my advice on how to make it in wedding world. So I've been in this industry for well over 13 years now. I started my business well over 10 years ago, and I started this journey literally from scratch, like from nothing. I don't have any investors. I don't have rich parents, a rich husband. It's just me and the grind, and that's pretty much it. And I get emails and DMs on Instagram all the time on people asking, like, how do I get started in this industry? How do I become a wedding planner? And so I figured that I should create a podcast episode that really kind of pulls you through my story, the steps that I took, and what I recommend as far as what works for becoming a wedding planner or coming into this industry. So instead of doing like a personal life update, I'm going to fill you in on what my personal journey was for this. So basically, just starting in college, I actually was a single mom. I went to University of Arizona, and for one of my semesters, I needed to get an internship for academic credit. And I ended up at a nonprofit organization, and I ended up doing events, like fundraising events. I don't know how, I have no idea how this worked out, but it is what it is. I graduated and then moved up to Phoenix. So at the time I was with my ex-husband, his job moved from Tucson to Phoenix, and I was a recent graduate, no real work experience. And I got this office job selling window film, like for tinting. I don't know why. Again, it's almost just kind of a mystery. It was absolutely ridiculous, a complete opposite of anything that I have, you know, strengths in. And I was there a couple of weeks, and I remember Mia was in daycare. That's my oldest daughter. And she wasn't feeling good. The daycare called and they're like, oh, you have to come and pick her up. I'm like, okay, I don't have any family here. There's nobody that I can call. So obviously I have to leave this new job that I have and go and pick her up. Should have been fine, you know, should have been easy, no brainer. There wasn't, I didn't miss anything and screw anything up. But I got to work the next day, and my boss was like, well, I'm going to have to dock you a half a day for leaving early. And I was so irritated and frustrated, and I felt so trapped. And I was like, this is what people talk about in corporate America. This is it. This right now, this feeling that I'm feeling is exactly what people talk about, and I don't want to do it. And I quit the job. I put in my 2 weeks, but I didn't really last the 2 weeks. It was really difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around sitting behind this desk. And I just made the decision. I was like, you know what? I became a mom really early. I didn't drop out of college. I finished. I can do pretty much anything. So I'm going to start my own business. Weirdly enough, I had no idea what I wanted to start a business in. Again, no real work experience. And so I just did a bunch of research and decided that I was either going to make cake pops or I was going to be a wedding planner. And I don't know where the whole cake pop thing came from, but that's what had my interest. So I was like, okay, I got to learn how to make cake pops if that's what I'm going to do. So me and Mia, I pulled up a recipe. We made a batch of cake pops. It's actually a really tedious process. I don't know if any of y'all have made them before, but it's several steps. It takes a very long time to get this tiny little yummy morsel to
you know, be perfected. And I was highly annoyed like 30 minutes into the process. I'm like, this is not for me. And then I started doing calculations. I'm like a big numbers person. Even though I'm super creative, I really do err on the number side a lot of times with things. And I'm like, well, how many cake pops am I going to have to make in order to become a millionaire? And I don't remember what the number is, but it was way too many. And I was like, F this, I'm going to be a wedding planner, because in my mind, those were the only two options. So I researched, how do you start a business? Like, how does this all work? And I figured out that you need to create a business plan. So I created a business plan. Again, didn't really know a lot of what I was doing, but I know how to follow directions. I know how to do research. I know how to do, again, great at math. I know how to pull things together. I know how to make a plan. So, you know, how difficult can this be? I decided that I was going to name my company BTS, which originally stood for big to small. So my company was going to be big to small events. Thank God when I got my LLC and everything, I never registered as big to small, because it's like kind of cheesy and like a little quirky. But I was younger and kind of small minded. And I wasn't thinking like sophisticated, like kind of business, you know, idea. So I went forward with the BTS. And then it was maybe about several months into it, I was watching something and, you know, they had the BTS footage of things. And they're like, oh, behind the scenes. And I was like, oh, well, BTS already has a name. Behind the scenes makes so much more sense. Scratch big to small. We're going BTS behind the scenes. So worked out really good. So I had all the formalities done, had the name, had the LLC, had the bank account. No money was coming in, but I had the bank account. And I dotted all my I's, crossed my T's. And I was like, okay, well, now I got to get business. So I didn't know a lot of people in Phoenix, and I figured in order to get business, I got to meet people. And so I again did research, figured out I got to network. So you got to go to these networking groups. You got to do women's groups. Weirdly enough, all these groups cost money, and I didn't have a lot of it. So during the time of me starting my business, I worked in restaurants. I was like a waitress. I was a bartender for a bit. Any like type of like service industry job, like in the evening time, was perfect for me because it balanced out my schedule with Mia and allowed me to spend a regular, like solid daytime working on BTS. So I made pretty much networking to be my full-time job. And if you know me, I'm the most introverted person in the entire world. I'm actually terrible with people. I'm good on like a one-on-one setting, but like throw me into a group of people and all bets are off. It just doesn't really work really well. I'm just so to myself. I have terrible anxiety. I, you know, get real awkward. I say weird things. Sometimes I come across rude. I never really mean to be rude, but it's just always a big mess. But I figured it out. And I would set goals every single time I was going into a networking event. I would circle the parking lot a million times, try to think of 50,000 reasons why not to go in. I'd end up going in, and then I'd find someone that was like, looked easy to talk to, that wasn't the center of attention, that I could have as my own person and talk to and get to know and build a relationship with. So that's kind of how the first, at least, oh my gosh, almost year went until I booked my first client. Then I booked my first client, over the moon excited. I booked a full service package. I charged literally, I think it was like $3,000 for like a full service, meaning like I did everything for them. And if you guys know how many hours go into planning a wedding, not to mention the amount of money it cost to fill your gas tank, to go to all the meetings that I was going to, which was everything for them, because I wanted to make sure I just nailed this all perfectly. I actually ended up like paying money to do this wedding, like lots of money, because $3,000 just doesn't cover all the hours of work that go into it. But my biggest thing for this was I wanted to be so good for this client and get so close with them that that's how I was going to get my referrals. So I didn't have money to do advertising. I didn't know much about marketing. You know, this was over a decade ago. So like print advertising was really popular. And if you were in the Brides magazine, you know, the local Arizona Brides or whatever it was, I can't remember the name. That was it. Like, that's how you got your business. And I remember meeting with the representative, and She was beyond annoyed. Like, I was the biggest, like, time suck in the world. And I was. I couldn't afford it. I just started. And these ads are thousands of dollars. You know, it was like a little tiny quarter page ad for like several hundred. And like, what are you going to do with a quarter page ad in this whole like 300 page magazine? It's going to get skipped over. But I knew in my head that if I did really good, I was going to get referrals. And I also knew in my head that if I could bring business to vendors that I wanted to work with, which was like the florist and the baker and the caterer and the venue and the photographer and the videographer. So I did a lot of research. I was strategic and I was like, okay, if I bring this client to them, they will love me and then they will bring me business too because people love to reciprocate. So in my mind, that's how this was all going to go. And it was going to be great and everything was going to pop off and I would have no worries ever. Not the case. It was a big struggle. I mean, I did a lot of research. Luckily, I had just the one client. So, you know, there was nothing dropped. There was no balls dropped. Internally, the stress that I went through was kind of crazy. But nonetheless, everything went, you know, really good. The more that I worked on this wedding and the more knowledge that I had, the more wedding details I had from this wedding that I was able to talk about at my networking events and with my vendor friends that I've been making, I got more credibility and people were like, oh, okay, new planner, you know, she's growing, doing her thing, whatever. I started to get, you know, smaller events then, like birthday parties and other kind of like social events, which then gave me, again, more business to take to more vendors, which again, brought more attention to me. And again, I was still hoping for those referrals to come back. And it just kind of like kept snowballing from there. One thing that you have to learn as a planner is that there's not a ton of opportunity for other vendors to refer business to you because you're kind of at the starting point of the process. So by the time that they are booking their photographer, their DJ and other things, they've kind of bypassed that planner phase, you know, so it's not easy. So my mindset of them, you know, referring business back and that being like a big, you know, jumping off point wasn't exactly accurate. And sometimes I would get frustrated, be like, gosh, you know, like I'm working so hard to try to like bring people business. I don't understand why they're not, you know, reciprocating. But really, that was just me not understanding the industry because my position comes first and, you know, in the chain of things to do. So again, it's kind of tricky. A lot of the vendors will be really helpful. And this industry is just filled with giving, caring people. So they'll help you in other ways, but it's maybe not as easy for them to have a bride and be like, okay, go back to the beginning of the planning process and book a planner, which is fine. Totally fine. I just, you know, it was a learning curve for me. I did start to kind of learn a little bit about social media. So again, 10 years ago, this is when it's kind of a newer concept, of course, like Facebook and MySpace, of course, was always around, but did those things really grow business? I don't remember them being like that, but maybe it did. I don't know. But then the growth of Instagram came in and I was really diligent about this. I didn't quite really understand it. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew I needed to have some kind of presence in social media. And so I just posted. And weirdly enough, people kind of cared about what I was posting, but I don't know why. I have no idea. 99% of the time I was posting other people's weddings and I would always credit them. You know, I knew that was the polite, right thing to do, proper social media etiquette. But I would always just say like different things that I liked or like trends that I loved on there. And there were some vendors that, you know, I had built relationships with and that were kind of honest with me and let me know like that it was stupid to do that, or that people talk trash about like me posting so much of other people's stuff. And I didn't care. I was like, well, I mean, I got to do something and I don't really have a lot of my own weddings and I'm trying to just get a presence online. So I'm going to keep going. And I just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And I can honestly say that, you know, maybe it's complete stubbornness or maybe even a little stupidity, but I didn't stop. I was like, oh, well, who cares? Like I have more followers than you now. So who cares what you think? But I eventually started to kind of get keen on the idea of creating styled shoots and, you know, showcasing my own creative ideas and pulling these together. And I started really studying, you know, the setup times and the teardown times. And I would just ask a lot of questions, like kind of throughout the process so that I could learn about floral and I could learn about the rentals and lighting and I could learn about bakers and caterers and hair and makeup artists. And, you know, everything that I learned helped me grow and become better and better and better at what I was doing. So then those images I was able to use a lot more on my own social media to show my own work. You know, it helped a lot. And it's so crazy because it's such a dead giveaway of a new person in the industry is like posting other people's work. And again, it's not saying stealing other people's work. I'm not saying like acting like it's yours. Of course, that's frowned upon all the time, but just reposting it, giving credit due, saying, oh, what a great, you know, such and such, whatever it is. And then doing styled shoots. It's such a dead giveaway of how early and green you are in your career. But let me just tell you, there's a place for you. It's important. You know, the people that were hiring me to do full service wedding planning for only $3,000. They needed a wedding planner for only $3,000. You know, that was just, there's a place for everybody and you have to go through these steps and you have to pay your dues and build in this industry. There's just no two ways around it. So consistently building relationships and learning and marketing, I grew and I grew and I grew. And this is a super long story filled with, you know, tons of words, some lessons, some stories, some funny points. But really, if we kind of like reflect on this story, it's such a solid plan as to how to grow a business and how to get started in this industry. So basically, the main steps are to do a lot of research, just research everything. I don't even know what to all research, just everything that you can, figure it out. You know, any question that you have about competition, other vendors, just anything in this, like different logo designs, different colors, what colors work, what don't, what fonts work, you know, just do a ton of research, network like crazy. Whoever you can meet them, whether they're great or they're terrible, it doesn't matter. You need to know who everyone is. You have to network. Research some more. So after you're networking, research the people that you're networking, build relationships, you know, stay really in tune with the people that you're meeting. Don't be fake. Don't be anybody but yourself. Be your genuine self and just really get to know people. They don't have to be best friends. They don't have to be just like you. You just have to be able to really know and understand and show up for people. And it works. Ask questions, ask a ton of questions anywhere that you're at, whether you're at a networking event or you're setting up a styled shoot, or maybe you're interning, maybe you're shadowing somebody. Just ask questions, understand every aspect of it, understand why they're doing these things. Don't just like, okay, this is what they're doing. They're doing this. Well, why? Like, why is this the next step? Stay consistent on social media. I don't give a crap what people say. I even just did a reel on this, like kind of determining who is new in the industry and who's a credible source in the industry by their Instagram posts. It's not to put anybody down. It's not to belittle anybody. It's just to say that newer people, this is what you're going to look for. So, you know, when you're kind of comparing and contrasting people, maybe you're looking for somebody new, or it doesn't matter, but stay consistent on your social media so that you continue to grow. Again, do more research, just keep on researching, keep on building more relationships. And before you know it, you're going to be thriving. So there's no secret to this. There's no fast track. There's nothing like that. It's just a matter of just staying consistent, showing up every day, repetition, doing more and more and more and more. And before you know it, you're going to be absolutely incredible and living out your dreams and your best life. This, you know, story that I'm telling you is, of course, just highlighting a lot of like the high points. I've gone through probably more hardships and embarrassing moments and setbacks and rejections and failures and everything than I could even count. The pain really, truly never actually stops in a lot of these situations. You know, people say, oh, it's business, it's not personal. Bullshit. This shit's personal. And if you hurt me, you hurt me and you're dead to me. And that's it. Because this is another child of mine. I put everything into this business. And, you know, it is what it is. But you just kind of keep experiencing things on a new level. It's kind of like playing Super Mario Brothers. You know, you're on level one, you go through and there's like some asshole turtles or like some fireballs that are coming at you and you got to kind of dodge and get around them. And, you know, then you make it and you get through and it's amazing. And then you go to level two and there's like some asshole turtles again. This time they're just frozen, and then some like fire ice balls or whatever. And it's stupid and it's annoying, but like every time you level up, you're going to go through these new pains. You're going to go through new highs. You're going to go through new pains. You know, it's crazy, but I can promise you it's worth every single second. So my advice to anybody going through this is, you know, there's going to be painful moments. Understand it, embrace it, learn everything you can from it, and grow. Research every day. Just like I keep saying, research, research, learn, 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 be a sponge, absorb things, make sure that you are connecting in this industry, identify which companies you align with and focus on them. You know, there's some people in this industry that they'll focus on everyone. Like, there'll be like a makeup artist that's like, I want to be all the wedding planner's best friend. Like, no, no, you don't. Who aligns with you? It comes across as like not being genuine when you don't have a clear sense of who your target audience is, because my target audience and my bride is not the same as some of my competitors. They're nothing the same. If one of their brides came and interviewed with me, they wouldn't get it. And same vice versa, we wouldn't mesh. So as another vendor in this industry, like how are you going to appease everyone? That doesn't make sense. You need to pick a lane, stay in it. Of course, like you can always be kind and friendly to everybody, but you don't have to like try so hard with everyone. Just pick some people that, you know, really kind of fit into what you're going for. Build those relationships. Again, just being the genuine you, yourself that you can be, and show up every single day. And always do what you say you're going to do. Don't overpromise as far as gaining experience in the industry. Don't be a snake. Don't work for someone and try to copy and absorb what they're doing and then like shady or sneakily go off and start your own business and kind of build off of their coattails. That's dumb. It happens in this industry all the time. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I feel like it's just trashy. If you want to start your own business, be honest, be upfront. Like, hey, I want to work from you. I want to learn from you, but I have entrepreneurial goals of my own. And, you know, maybe that's not the vibe at first, but maybe it kind of turns into that. Just be honest and upfront. You know, it's one thing about work and life just in general is that this is one big game of checks and balances. So the shady, sneakily things that you do to somebody, it's going to come back. You know, it's never not. Just be honest, be upfront. If you're looking to gain experience, say you're looking to gain experience. If you want to be a business owner in this industry, say you're going to be a business owner in the industry. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just want to be open with things. But experience is definitely going to be the quickest way that you are able to make those connections and, you know, learn what to do, what not to do. So in a nutshell, I hope this episode was informative and helps some people out. I'm an open book. I'm always available for questions. So please don't hesitate to ask. Again, I have been through just about anything that you could ever possibly imagine. So I feel like I could be a really good resource for anybody going through this. Just to close this out, we're going to do a question from DM, just like we always do to close out episodes. And this one is probably one of the ones that we get all the time. Are you hiring? The reason it's kind of a generic, you know, part for this segment, but I think it's really important because I always give the same response. We're always hiring. We always have an open door and an open seat for amazing, hardworking, talented people. So yeah, I mean, send your resumes in. Absolutely. Take a shot. Take a chance. You just never know. We are in a point in business where I can no longer hire people that don't have experience in this industry. We're just moving too fast. And I used to think like, oh, it's super easy to kind of catch people up and people can learn on the way, and they can't. It doesn't work like that. We're just moving at too fast, too high, and too much of like a luxury level to not understand this industry. But there are plenty of companies that are hiring, you know, at a more entry-level position. I did it all the way up until last year. So there's definitely a ton of opportunity and options for this. So if it's something that you're interested in, Again, just listen to this episode. I promise you, I'm literally giving you the blueprint, like how to do it, how, you know, to get this to work. And then, of course, just reach out with any questions you have. So thank you so much for walking down the aisle with us today. Join us here every other Tuesday as we talk more about all things weddings. If you want to hear more, tune into Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play to subscribe to the aisle. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a positive review, as it really helps us kind of get this show out to more people. And we'll talk to you later.